What's going on, my people? And you tell me, Kulonapun, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Nigerian Prince. Look, we all know it can be really, really hard to be a Nigerian these days. The goal of this podcast is to level all bridges. Each Friday, you will join me, Ayomide Calvin Oji, Ayomide Chimeze Oji, as I weigh in on issues of the week. I'll interview guests all over the world. I interview guests and we'll talk about politics, entertainment, culture, sports, and beyond. Look, if you want the latest information to advance in life, or you're trying to start a passionate project, or you want some information about what's going on in the current world, please, this podcast is your podcast. Join me on the show. Welcome. Let's go. Bam. One, two, ready, go. All right. Guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy New Year. Now, today's episode is just a fantastic one because this is a dream come true for me, because when I first came to America, I lived in Maine, and one of the few friends I met that made my journey to America peaceful and a very memorable one is my friend Zarina Isaac. You know, this is OG. When I talk about OG, this is somebody I respect truly. And for her coming on the show today is just a joy. So thank you, Zarina, for coming on the show. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Calvin.
No problem. How have you been?
I've been really good. The New Year started out a little good too, so that's a plus.
I know, right? I know. And when I reached out to you and I said, Zarina, let's do a podcast and we're going to talk about sex, you know? And you're like, fact is cool. Let's talk about it, because most people don't like to talk about sex. I don't know why. It seems like, I don't know.
It's very taboo to a lot of people.
It's so crazy because, you know, like, it's so cool. You can watch, like, a whole lot of violence on TV, right? You can watch people shoot themselves and, you know, kill them. You can actually watch violent movie with your parents and it's all fine. But when you talk, when you watch anything that has to do with any sexual, you know, interactions, it's a taboo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why? They're trying to tell you, go to your room or close your eyes or stuff like that. Instead of, like, gearing you to learn about the safer methods that you could go about when having sex and stuff like that.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And everybody do enjoy sex. Like, I haven't met anybody in my life except, like, people who are, like, priests or pastors. In fact, pastors do. They enjoy sex.
They enjoy it, I'm sure.
They do, because that's how we reproduce. But today, like, I'd just honestly like to get the perspective of, you know, sex from a woman's perspective. You know, as a guy, like, I'd like to know, you know, what the deal is, you know, starting from, like, interactions to sex to everything, you know. So hopefully you will be able to educate me and a lot of listeners today about, you know, what women want, especially, and the safest ways, the best approaches, you know, just the real thing. But before we get into it though, I'd like you to, you know, tell people where you're from, because I know a lot of people hear your accent and they're like, where is she from?
I'm from the Caribbean island, the lovely Caribbean island of St. Kitts and Nevis. Like Calvin said, we met at Hudson University. I did psychology as my major and a little bit of minor in human sexuality. And now that I'm venturing off into my master's, I want to make human sexuality, the study of human sexuality, my main focus.
So
I want to become a sex therapist.
So dope. Like, so dope. I haven't actually met anybody who's going to study, you know, sex therapy. What is the main focus with sex therapy? What are you doing with that?
Well, with a sex therapist, most persons feel like sex therapy is just as the name says. You study more than just sex. Mm-hmm. You help females with their hygiene, how to keep their pH balance in order. You help men with erectile dysfunction. If their sperm count is low, you help them increase it. It's just about, like, counseling persons to resolve difficulties in sex, in their performance, if they have performance anxiety, like relationship problems, anything that stem within sex and even outside of sex, but within a relationship or even outside of a relationship. It's not just about talking, feeling comfortable with your body and your relationship and everything like that.
That's cool. That's dope. I know a lot of people, you know, like I'm from Nigeria, right? And I don't think people are comfortable talking about sex with other people who are not, you know, their partners. You know what I mean? So as a sex therapy, it's like a safe place for you to talk about, you know, what goes down in the room. You feel me?
Yeah, because if you and your partner are having, if one partner is showing less and less interest in sex and you are like a sex demon, your sex drive is very high and mm-hmm. you want to help your partner match your sex drive, mm-hmm. that's when you know it's time to see a sex therapist.
Nah, but for real though, like what makes somebody not, you know, get attracted to their partner anymore, and what causes that for real?
It doesn't only have to be like they lost interest in you. A low sex drive could be because of a lot of different stuff. Smoking could be one. Drinking could be one. It's a mental condition as well. Could be depression. It's not merely like they lost interest in you, but it could be other factors that affects that.
Hmm. That's something. So somebody who's suffering from mental illness, or, you know, just smoking and drinking too much way alcohol, can lose their sexual drive towards their partner. So it doesn't necessarily mean they're not attracted to the person. It might be like they have a health condition.
Yeah, attraction could be one as well, but most times your lifestyle, the way you maintain your lifestyle, it's not the best. That could also interfere with the way you perform in bed or your interest in having sex. Especially if someone was molested at a young age, it could do one or two things to them as well. They could become like a sex demon, just always want to have sex. They could be very sexually promiscuous, or they could try to avoid having sex. Every time their partner tried to engage in sex with them, it's kind of like a flashback to what happened. So they always have this mental trigger and kind of shy away from wanting to have committed sex with their partner.
That's to be honest with you, as a guy, I'm not speaking for all men, but when men or guys, you know, engage or communicate with women and they're trying to have sex, they don't really think about anything that has to do with the past or, you know, the woman's past. Or is it the same? Do you think about that as for men also? Because I know, look, I'll tell you a story, right? I used to know a guy back when I was in Nigeria in college. Yeah, I met this girl, had a huge, huge crush on her, you know. Eventually they wanted to have sex because he has fantasized about this for a long time, thought about it. The time they were about to have sex, instantly before he pulled on his pants, he come already. Now she so that's premature ejaculation, but then she don't even want to communicate with this guy for like at all anymore, you know. So do women really consider if there's anything that has to do with men's past, or do you just assume like they have to be, you know, on point 100% all the time?
It's a lot of pressure on the guys, just as there's a lot of pressure on the female. So I could see why she probably feels like the guy's supposed to take the lead in sex. And for the fact that he ejaculated before the sex even started, she probably got turned off because that didn't even leave her chance to get to come. She now feels like he's selfish during sex, or she wanted to know what the hell is this, like you haven't even put it in yet and you already come. She didn't even question maybe is there a health situation on the line. You see, a lot of people jump into bed, they don't know their partner, they don't know their sexual health background, nothing. They just go straight because it's sex, and that's fine if you choose to do it that way, but you can't be risky with it. You gotta think about your health in the long run. The situation with him being having a premature ejaculation could be caused by a lot of different stuff. You know, she could have approached the situation different by saying, like, you know, what caused this? Do you have any underlying situation? And one of the main things that you could try to do to hold out with premature ejaculation before the sex, like if you know you're about to go to your girlfriend's house to have sex and you know that you come pretty quick, you could start masturbating before meeting up with her, watching porn.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, it's going to make you come.
Really?
It's going to delay your because you already came. So now the sex is supposed to last a little longer because you're already, what they call it, top off. You already top off yourself before.
I'm trying to understand. So you're saying, like, for guys out there who have, you know, issues performing sexually with a woman, is advisable for you to actually watch porn and actually masturbate before going down with a girl. That way you last longer.
Yeah, you already start. For real. You start the sex by yourself. You start to find out what you like and stuff like that. There are medications as well, but, you know, sometimes you don't always have to stick drugs down somebody's throat. You just learn your body and go see a sex therapist again and help them find out what's the underlying issue behind you having premature ejaculation. And you try to fix that situation without the drugs. If it's not fixable without the drugs, then you could go with the drugs. But I try to make sure that'll be the last option. You know what I mean?
So the drugs has to be the last option.
It doesn't have to, but I personally feel like drugs, you fix one problem, it causes another.
Fact. You know what I mean? That's true.
You got to take another drug to fix that one.
That's true. That's so, that's
so
true.
If you fix it naturally, that'll be better.
That's so true. And you know, when you were talking about you were talking about this example of the girl thinking the guy is selfish, like what's the perfect way to get into, you know, sexual interaction with somebody? Now, this is not like a one night stand thing. Let's say you're in a relationship, right? Are you supposed to find out what the girl like, or you're just supposed to go with the flow?
Yeah, and this is where you use your mouth. And when I say use your mouth, I mean ask questions, not necessarily oral. Like, you know, you voice your opinion, ask her what does she like in bed. Because communicating during sex is A+. That's one way to make sure the sex is good. You would learn what your partner likes, and they would learn what you like. And then sex should be good once you know each other's body. That's why it's good to, you know, play with yourself sometimes so you learn your different spots. So when someone's coming new into your life, you're able to tell them what you like to make the sex more enjoyable.
You know, like, you talk about, like, men playing with themselves. I swear to God, like, most men feel like masturbating is, you know, is for weak men. You know what I mean? Like, any conversation of masturbation is looked as, damn, you're not, it's because you cannot get girls, that's why you have to masturbate.
No, trust me. It's the safest way, for real, because sometimes you go around messing with someone and you don't even know what they have, so you want to keep you and little Johnny fine, then you help yourself. But there's a stereotype against that, for real, that if men masturbate, they're somewhat weak or they can't get any pussy or things like that. But that's not always the case.
Oh, shit. What about women? Do women have to masturbate to find out, you know, their own?
Yeah, it's all about exploring your body. Find out what you like. Because how else would you be able to tell your partner what you like in bed? Some women lay there and be like, oh, the sex wasn't good, I didn't enjoy it. But then you wasn't supposed to say something, like tell him what's your spots, how he could have maneuvered doing this to make you enjoy it more, stuff like that. Instead of just laying there in bed and then complaining after sex and be like, what the fuck was that?
Yo, that's so true. But the thing is, like, some women, I mean, not some women, like, you know, some people are actually shy during sexual, you know, intercourse with other people. Yeah, I don't know if it's a, you know, if it's a personality thing or if it's an insecurity thing, but some people don't like to actually fully explore their sexuality when it comes to, you know, actually doing what they actually want to do. Why do you think it's so? Like, I don't know. I know guys are pretty adventurous. You know, I can speak for myself. You know, but I know, like, women sometimes are often very shy when it comes to, you know, actually enjoying themselves with their partner. Why is it my own assumption, or am I right?
There could be a lot of reasons to that, and one of the main reasons usually is the confidence.
From the guy or the girl? Sex.
They feel like, you know, especially if a woman is too skinny, too fat, body shaming, like they feel like their partner aren't interested in them, like. You need to somewhat feel like you're accepted by your partner. That's why sometimes people feel like if the guy initiates the interest and show them. And even when doing those kind of stuff, sometimes the woman already so immune to thinking like, you know, guys don't like skinny women, guys don't like fat women, guys don't like this. The internet already put an image out there that a woman is supposed to look a certain how.
Facts.
So she's having sex and she's now insecure with what the guy is seeing. So she's thinking, I wonder if I'm doing this right. I wonder if he's seeing this. So you can't be sitting there and thinking during sex. It's going to be boring. You're not really enjoying the full package to sex. You're supposed to enjoy, be enjoying your pleasure, the company of your boyfriend, the penetration, everything. And you're just sitting there worrying. What does he think about this? So they got to have self-love. Try to affirm this. Affirmation is one of the best ways to gain self-confidence in the bedroom. Look at yourself. Let yourself know, like, you know, you are the shit.
Shit.
You are beautiful. You are this. Sometimes your partner do it, and women still, they're just stubborn. They are stuck in their ways, like, you know, I don't think this is attractive. So even though he said this, he's probably saying this because he's my man. He's supposed to say this to build me up. There's True. a lot of things that play mentally and emotionally in a woman's head that they happen to think that they're not good enough. So that can mess with the self-esteem part in sex. Guys as well, because there's, you know, there's this image that a perfect guy is tall.
Yes.
He has to be tall.
Yes.
His dick has to be big.
Yes, yes.
A black guy.
Yes.
they always stereotype the black guys with the big penis.
Yo, that is such a good segue to our next question, actually. It's like the preference when it comes, I think, I'll be honest with you. I have never had to think about, you know, height, you know, or, I don't know, body shape when I was in Africa, you're right? Because everybody just, you know, did their thing. But when I came to America, I realized, like, most women in America actually pursued tall men, you know, living people who are not actually to the height that they, you know, expect, insecure. Why, what's the deal with height?
I don't know. I think the height goes, it plays a part with the size of the penis as well. Also the foot size. They tend to look at big foot guys and think they measure the penis with the foot, the penis with the height. So everything big, they just think it's big.
Oh, my. Wait, but okay, now, the thing is, like, does size really matter or it doesn't really matter?
A guy could have a big, big, big dick and don't know how to use it. And then this little guy, he knows how to use it. Ooh. So it's all about the pleasure. Who can find your pleasure spots? Who could actually turn you on? Who could hit that spot? Usually a curved penis.
Mm-hmm.
Could find the female's G-spot. It's usually about 2 to 5 inches in. So the curved penis is at an advantage than the straight one because all they have to do is, like, put the tip in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they already have a hook kind of deal.
Hmm.
And the G-spot is, like, 2 to 5 inches in, and it feels somewhat like a golf ball. It has, like, a female could also feel it with her hand. A guy could also try feeling it with his hand as well. You're gonna know it's it because the time you feel it, you know it's something different. So you're gonna know that's the spot.
Okay, so
every woman is different as well.
I gotta ask you, right? Just so you can give so many guys out there some confidence. What is the perfect dick size?
Whatever your girlfriend likes. I'm not gonna say, because if a guy is under that already damaging. Nah, I'm not a part of the stereotype.
Makes sense. I love that.
The dick size, it could be big and it could be small, and you still don't know how to use it.
Facts.
Once your girlfriend enjoys it and you're actually using it and knowing how to do it for her, then that's the perfect dick size for her.
So it's all about, like, actually just using it right. It doesn't really matter, like, how big it is or how small it is.
Yeah, you just got to know what you're doing in bed to please your partner.
So use the hands, use the mouth, use how do men do it right? How do women expect men to do it right?
That's where they got to ask their partner, what does she like in bed?
Hmm.
Some women like foreplay before sex, getting rubbed down, getting their nipples, because the nipples are very sensitive on both male and
true,
female.
True, true.
It's an arousal point for both of you guys.
True.
You try using ice dildos, or you could put water in a condom and tie it, freeze it, take it out, and you could rub this on your girlfriend's nipples. You know, start stimulating her. That's a form
of foreplay. I gotta ask you. Wait, so you're saying I can put a water in condom right now and put it on my girl's nipple, and that helps during sex?
This is just foreplay.
This is for foreplay.
Start it to want to have sex and stuff like that. Because remember, I told you the nipples are very sensitive.
True.
So the more, and they're very sensitive to cold, especially. If you watch a girlfriend in a cold weather, you recognize the nipple, her nipples start to stand to attention. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it feels so good. But coldness gives somewhat a good trigger.
So ice, something like ice cubes are perfect.
You could use ice cubes, you could use the condom method, because it shapes out, condom shapes like a penis.
True.
So once you freeze it, it comes out looking like a penis. So once you rub it around the nipple with the tip area, it feels really good. And you could also use that to run down your boyfriend's spine. But some guys are so sensitive, they might think, oh, that's a penis, you ain't rubbing that down my spine. And, you know, all the different stuff fluttering in their mind, they start doing it. But
no, I'm sure. I mean, like, straight men, definitely. I don't think straight men want anything. I don't know, because now I feel like with the porn industry, so many men are becoming more adventurous with the, you know, spine and the booty area and everything else, which, honestly, in my own culture is like a taboo. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, the only place you have to mess with is the male, you know, genital area, which is the dick, and that's it. You don't go further than that. You feel
but
me?
But it's funny that you said that, though, because the male's G-spot, mm-hmm. which is referred to like the P-spot, it's somewhat be located like by the prostate, between the prostate and the what do you call that one? It's somewhat in the area of your ass.
What?
Yes, it's by your anus and your prostate. So it's a little, if I had a picture to show you guys, you would see what I mean. But that's sometimes why some gay men switch over, because they like getting penetrated in the ass, because that's usually where you guys' P-spot is. So your P-spot.
I'm sure a lot of men right now, their brains are like going boom, because this is some new information. So you're saying the P-spot, which is usually the G-spot for women, is located like behind the asses of men?
Yeah, it's like by the prostate glands area.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's probably sometimes why most men you see, they like to... There's something called pegging as well, where the female wears the strap-on penis and the guy allows her to penetrate his...
But is that gay?
I mean, if that's what the guy likes.
I mean, not which there's wrong. Nothing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with anybody being, you know, enjoying what they enjoy. But for a straight guy, you know, I'd feel like if you, I don't know, like,
if you enjoy that means you would enjoy a man doing it to you.
You know what I mean?
You could look at it that way, or you could look at it that he just wants to be pleasured, and that's where your spot is.
Hmm.
So, if you're hitting that spot for me, and I know you're a female, then we good, because I'm penetrating you with my penis. I just want to... I mean, the female could use her hand to try to reach it, but the actual strap-on is longer. They call it pegging.
Oh, my days. Oh, my goodness.
It's all a part of BDSM. It's like a bondage play of sex. So.
So, like, some men has to... not everybody have to enjoy that. It's just some people are into that already.
Yeah, you don't have to do it. If you're not on the freaky side of that spectrum, then you leave it alone. But that's where your P-spot is for guys.
Wow.
If they want to explore that part and want to find out where that part is, then yeah.
Wow. Zarina, you are just blowing up my mind right now. Honestly, I'm not going to lie, honestly. But the question is talking about like satisfying each other, right? So like some women talk about like, oh, this person don't last long, this guy don't last long. What is the, in your own, you know, professional or just your own, what would you say is the perfect duration for sex?
I mean, I've gotten this question so many times. If we're looking from a survey, because there was a survey taken at Gerald University, I think it was.
Okay.
And the time frame for the survey, they said 7 to 15 minutes.
7 to 15 minutes?
Yes, and that does not include the foreplay part of it. That's like the actual penis to vagina, the penetration part, is 7 to 15 minutes.
That's nothing.
I wouldn't put a time frame. Who sits there counting how long sex takes when you're having sex? You're supposed to be enjoying the sex.
Facts.
I wouldn't put a time frame on sex, but if I was to speak from a sexologist's point of view, mm-hmm. that's the time frame I'm going to give you.
Mm.
But if I'm talking from Zarina's point of view, I'll say I'm not counting. I'm enjoying myself.
Facts. So guys out there, she said it, 7 to 15 minutes, so don't feel embarrassed if you can't go more than 30 minutes or 1 hour, you know?
That's what I mean? That's what good sex takes, that time frame there.
7 to 15. So what happens if it goes past 1 hour? Is that torture, or is that not sex anymore?
I mean, that's what they call delay ejaculation. Just how they have premature ejaculation, they also have delayed ejaculation. And to be honest, if someone's laying on you for an hour, I feel something ain't right.
You think so? You don't think it's genetics? You don't think like the guy is just blessed with enough, you know, endurance like that?
It could be, but again, just like the premature ejaculation where there's underlying problems to it,
mm-hmm.
they could also be underlying problems to delayed ejaculation. Because low testosterone could cause delayed ejaculation.
Wow.
Sometimes guys, while having sex, they take a break and they go again. That's fine because we know that something had stopped.
Stopped it.
There's something called edging during sex.
What is that?
It's like you're trying to maintain, like if you know your guy's about to come,
mm-hmm.
you somewhat push your body off of him. Like, you know when your partner's about to come because the rhythm changes. You start to speed up.
True.
Go fast.
True.
So when you see that happening and, you know, the beat change, you try to push yourself away from him. It's called edging to make him restart his coming process.
Hmm.
So you weren't ready for the sex to be over. You weren't ready for him to...
So the
somewhat push yourself from him.
So the lady, the woman has to, like, push the guy off so he doesn't come. Then automatically the process start over again.
Yeah, he is going to make him have to restart the whole coming process. But it's not really like she's going to push him off because that's a turn off during sex for the guy and even for her because who say he's going to get back into the groove. But it's like, there's a technical term for it. It's called edging. You're making them restart the whole coming process.
Oh, my days. I did not know that.
Actually coming.
Wow. Wow. Look, Zarina, you are blowing my mind. The question
is in orgasms. That's what I was supposed to tell you.
Which one?
Stop from orgasm.
You say female orgasm?
No, the male.
Oh,
you're about to come.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a technique. Mm-hmm. You will stop your partner from climaxing.
Oh.
Like you're on the edge of coming, you know, edging. That's where they get the edging from. You're on the edge to come in. So kind of stop you so you could prolong it.
Oh, wow. So talking about coming, actually, what is this new, there's a new conversation online and how people talk about like fake orgasm, you know, some men, I mean, I think it's more with women with the fake orgasm. What's the conversation about that?
But honestly, women does that, they do the fake orgasm a lot. Guys do it as well, but I think I see it more with the female.
Yes.
But if you know your partner, you'll know when it's fake and when it's real. You should be able to differentiate. That's why you got to study your partner during sex. Because some women put on some Oscar performance with.
Yes.
If she really did something, if you really did the damn thing during sex, or if she's just playing with you or what. But you have to really learn your partner, know what your partner is about. So uh-huh. you know if she really did.
So, but, like.
Huh?
Do men? You say men too fake orgasm, right?
Yeah, men could fake it. They could.
But the woman is gonna know because if she don't see her no come, she realize, you know. But man, it's so hard for men to know because sometimes, you know, like not every woman. Because this is actually a question I wanted to ask you. With squirting, is that the come? Is that the orgasm?
No, the squirting, coming, and an orgasm. Three different things.
Oh boy. Lay it on me.
squirting, it's like a mixture of pee and prostate fluid.
What? So it's not just cum like men?
No.
Man, do you hear that? What about so it's a mixture of pee and a prostate what?
Prostate fluid. Prostate.
Wow. But not everybody experienced that, right? Not every woman experienced that.
Not every woman would experience squirting, and that's fine.
Okay. Okay.
Nothing is wrong with you.
Okay.
Some women, with the orgasm, it's like the climax. It's actually the sexual excitement that you feel. This is like the physical pleasure.
Mm.
The center of the genitals, you're going to feel it. And then for the female ejaculation, known as the coming,
mm-hmm.
this is where you release like a thick whitish fluid from the female prostate,
mm-hmm.
The G-spot. And then with squirting now, this is like a more diluted kind of fluid. It's somewhat like urine and prostate fluid mix. Not fully urine, but it's a mixture. So you'll know the difference. Squirting is just shoots out and it's very diluted.
Right.
The female ejaculation, the coming, is going to be a thicker white fluid.
Hmm.
Come out during sex.
So climax. What about climax? Is that the body itself?
Yeah, the orgasm is nothing you're going to see. It doesn't have a color because it's just the excitement, the climax her body goes through.
So is that similar to the one where men actually just come? That's the same experience?
Some guys shake.
Mm-hmm.
Make sound like, oh, and this different side of stuff. So that's them going through their orgasm.
Mm.
But that is the actual fluid coming out, the semen and stuff like that.
Mm. Wow. So why do guys actually think, or why do they actually just expect women to actually squirt? Is it because of the porn industry, or is it because of social media, or what's the trend behind that?
Yeah, the media and everything puts so many thoughts, and then they put so many pressure on females, and females put so many pressures on male with dick sizes.
Yes,
it's just what you see on TV, and you expect your female to be the porn that you saw on TV. That's all entertainment. They're paid to do that kind of stuff.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're supposed to be able to do this kind of stuff. You want to turn her into one, you guys start practicing in the bedroom. That's fine. You might want to see tricks you saw. You could try it out in the bedroom. Once you take from porn, you try to help her to do it.
It's crazy. It's crazy that some men actually, or some women, don't realize that porn is just acting, you know?
Yeah, it's just entertainment for people.
It's crazy. It's crazy because people actually do want that expectation of what they see on screen and actually, you know, want it performed to them in bedrooms.
That's true.
So that's a shame. Well, guys, realize this. Porn is not real. Porn is acting, you know. But Zarina said masturbation is good, right?
Yeah, it is. It helps you learn your body.
What would you say to like the religious people who would like go crazy when you say masturbation is good for men?
What would I say to a religious person?
Yeah, because if you like the pastors and the you know people who are like overly religious, I mean religious people believe like masturbation is a sign of you know the devil, you know, messing with your life.
Well, if that's their belief, that's their belief.
Mm.
But at the same time, you have, because they look at it from a point of view that you have to get married.
Yes, true.
I don't necessarily think that they're telling you not to masturbate. They probably just see it as a form of sex. That's something you shouldn't do out of marriage.
Mm.
But at the same time, as a teenage boy or even a young boy coming up, they're going to be curious. They're going to want to explore different stuff. They see something in their pants. The penis,
mm-hmm.
and they want to know what it's for, what it's used for. They want to experiment it. So my advice to a religious family coming up, understand that this is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go through different body changes. They're going to get curious. They're going to want to know what's going on with their body parts. They're going to want to explore it. it's up to you to approach the situation better and not worse. You going off and being like, oh, you shouldn't do that, is the devil's work. You're trying to tell him that the hundred and something nerve and the millions of nerves that he has in his penis is the devil's work.
That's true.
In other words, you're making him feel his body is the devil's work. God took his time creating him.
Yo.
So choose your words carefully when approaching a child about sex, about their body. You see them, because I don't know if you ever saw a little kid like walking around just playing with their penis, just doing different weird stuff. You somewhat start to feel like maybe they're being abused. It's an alarm for concern.
Right.
It's not always that. Sometimes they just probably figure out, hey, I have a penis.
Right. What does it do?
They're just curious.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys go to sleep. They fall asleep with their hand in their boxers or something.
True.
It just feels good to them because the warm feeling. Females do that too. Sometimes we stick our hand in our boobs and we just leave it there. It feels good. The warmth that it gives, it feels really good.
Really? Wow. This is some good information for men, because men always feel like they're creeps. Nah, it's true. Like, man, look, I have heard people and I've known people, and I was a teenager too myself, you know what I mean? And during the process of, you know, learning, like, you know, my body and my sexuality and just what I enjoy or what is right for me, in the process, it's so secretive, you know what I mean? So it's just within myself. I don't tell people, you know what I mean?
Right.
So at that point, I might feel like, damn, you know, I'm doing this in secret, then I'm a creep, you feel me?
Yeah.
So no, now that you're saying like every other people to do it, and even the opposite sex female also do it, that is fascinating.
Yeah, because with females, they would rub on the edge. They could try rubbing their vagina on the edge of a bed or using their finger pressed against the clit. Because again, the clit, just like the penis, the clit has a lot of nerves, a lot of pleasure nerves.
So would you advise men to actually focus on the clit
for orgasm? You're trying to make her have an orgasm, that's one of the spots that you should try focusing on, stimulating the clit. If you're looking at the squirting part of it, find her G-spot.
Tell people where the G-spot is located for female, please.
It's about 2 to 3 inches inside of the vagina. You won't miss it. It's as soon as you insert your fingers in, you go up. I'm pointing like you guys could see me through the podcast, but stick your finger up, and you try to curve it. You know when you're telling a little kid, come here,
yes.
Come here.
Yeah,
you do that same motion once you're already in. Don't go too far in. Remember, it's 2 to 5 inches, 2.5 inches in. So you do the coming motion, and you somewhat play around until you start feeling something like a golf ball kind of texture, like an orange or something. It's not too rough, and it's not too soft. It has a... picture a golf ball or orange, that kind of surface.
Okay. Information for you guys. You guys out there trying to pleasure your woman, you're welcome. You're very, very welcome. And now, Zarina, honestly, like, you have educated me a lot about sex. You've told me so many things I've always thought it was true, but you've confirmed, and also you've also broke some of my beliefs, you know, some stereotypes and also some false beliefs. Because I, you know, from the beginning of the podcast, I told you, like, sex is such a conversation that most people should have, especially parents with their kids, but they don't have it because I don't understand it. I don't know if they're shy to talk about it because parents do have sex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know why it's such a big deal that sexual education is something that is not taken seriously, you know,
and
for kids.
It could also be a beautiful thing, too. So they're just saying out all the bad to the kids. They feel like if I tell them what to do, they're going to go do it. But do you know, the more you hide it, the more curious they're going to come. And they're going to want to do it to see, why she keeps shutting me out from this? Let me see what she's talking about.
True.
And if they don't have the proper understanding, they're going into sex blind, which then would cause teenage pregnancy.
True.
A lot of unwanted pregnancy. So these are things that parents could have avoided if they had just, like, taken the time to, like, sit down. And if they don't know how to actually approach a situation, talk to their kids about it, that's where a sex therapist comes into play, too. You recognize your kid is now sexually active and you don't know how to approach the situation with it. You could try reaching out to a sexologist, a sex therapist, sit down with them, teach them, you know, I'm not going to tell you not to have sex because it's impossible to stop a horny teenager from wanting to have sex.
Facts. That's drug. So what is the safest way for people to actually engage in sex with other people? What's the, and not just, I know, like, obviously condoms, right? But are there other ways that you can actually protect yourself? Because a whole lot of people start having sex with a whole lot of people, then they develop, like, internal issues, you know, that men or women themselves complain about. So what is the way to protect yourself, stay clean, and just, you know, be vibrant?
Try to not allow, for the females especially, the young girls out there, I hope there are females, young girls listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Try to avoid having your partner ejaculate inside of you.
Really?
Too often, yes. It's going to throw off their pH balance. Because
our female's pH balance?
Yes. Our vagina already has bacteria. And then the guy's semen contains a lot of bacteria as well. And then he's ejaculating inside of you, and you already have your bacteria. He's adding additional bacteria to you. It could cause a lot of different stuff to happen. There's bacterial vaginosis, throwing off your pH balance. A foul scent could start coming in. And then sometimes guys say, oh, female doesn't smell good down here or something like that.
Yeah.
You're adding to the fact that she doesn't smell good. Little do you know, you're actually adding to it.
Really?
Yeah.
What about married couples, people who are married and they'd never use condoms?
And they're trying to have sex?
Yeah, they just have sex and they ejaculate all the time in the woman's vagina.
You could try pulling out. Because a married couple, let's be honest, not all the time they're going to use condom.
Yes. So
if his pull-out game is strong to avoid adding additional bacteria inside of it, and it's completely okay. Even if you're married, go and take random tests. Just go check up on your body. Make sure you're straight. Make sure you're straight. You got to care about yourself before you care about anybody else.
Facts.
Doing anything. She could say she's not doing anything. But this is the way to keep your vagina healthy. I'm not going to say odorless because the vagina is supposed to have somewhat of a scent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a scent where, you know, a girl goes to the bathroom and then someone goes into the bathroom after her and it's a lingering scent that you can smell.
Mm-hmm.
That's you gotta go see your sex therapist, your gynecologist, your doctor. Any, you just gotta go see and get that sorted out. Or if you sit down, there's a flop. You sit and you just smell a flop come up from a female. That's when you're smelling it. You would even smell it from the time you pull your underwear down.
Oh wow. Okay.
So smelling that kind of scent, but the vagina itself has a light, somewhat scent, so you know it's a vagina.
Okay, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So what is the conversation, or what is this new trend with is it pussy rejuvenation, or what it was, is it tightening? What's going on? What's happening? Is this a trend, or is this actually a magical procedure women go to tightening their vagina?
I'm not gonna say there's some people who do steaming. There's some people who insert stuff inside of their vagina, say that they're cleaning the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. The vagina cleans itself.
Mm.
Anything additional could cause more harm than good.
Mm.
It might seem like it's working for you now, but a few years down the line, you probably would have to pay for it.
For real?
Take some trips to the doctor, all because of what you thought was working for you in the earlys. Because the vagina cleans itself. Nothing's supposed to be going up unless it's a penis.
Right.
Or you're experimenting with the toys or
yes,
stuff like that. But you inserting chemicals and different stuff inside it. The vagina cleans itself. Soap and water, you're good.
So
you take a healthy pH balance, you're good.
No need for the surgery to tighten the vagina?
I wouldn't say. I mean, if it reaches to a point where Kegel exercises, because there's something called Kegel exercises that you
what is that?
Tighten. You know when you want to pee? Well, I'm saying, you know, you're a guy. But for females, you want to pee. You have the urge to pee, and you keep playing with a pee. You're pulling it out. You're about to pee. You pull it up, pull it down, pull it down. You're playing with a pee. That's quinting. In the islands where I'm from, we island people like say quint. You quint the pussy. Especially when the dick is inside of you, you latch onto it, the vagina quinches in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exercising the muscle walls in the vagina to help it remain tight. So those are some floor exercise you could do to try tighten your vagina to avoid like putting anything in or doing any surgery. But if Kegels don't work and it's to a point where you feel like your walls aren't accepting the Kegel exercises and you think you need surgery, then hey, but I personally feel and know that the vagina cleans itself and nothing really is supposed to be inserted unless it's a penis.
Hmm.
Or the toys.
So what about the steaming? No need for that?
That again, it has, like some people say, it has its pros, but there's a lot of cons to it because you could get yeast infection. Yeast grow where heat is. So you're steaming your vagina, you're adding additional heat and moist to the vagina, and we already have our own moisture coming from the vagina. So you adding additional moisture to it, you're helping yeast to grow and form inside of your vagina. You get yeast infection. Douching is something that I have never done and I'm not willing to do either.
What is that?
That's where the water shoots up. You stoop over like something somewhat like a toilet, but water shoots from it and it goes up inside of your vagina.
Is that done from the home, or you have to go to the doctors?
Some people have them in their house. Some people go to steaming places like spas and stuff and they'll get that done as well. But again, that's water shooting up inside of you. Like, it's just like how I said, constantly having your partner ejaculate inside of you. Too much of anything is not good.
True. True. So if, just so I understand, you're saying like there's no need for you trying the things you see on the internet, like steaming. You don't need so many things to go up in the vagina. Vagina cleans itself.
The steaming is what I'm taught to, I would totally go against, because you're creating more yeast. You're going to help the yeast to grow. And that's why you may, like, if you recognize you're constantly getting a yeast infection.
Yeah.
And you've done steaming. That's your green light right there. You know, something is wrong because of that.
Okay. So no need for extra exercises or extra medical procedure to clean out the vagina.
Oh, exercise is always good when it comes to the vagina. Exercise is good.
What about for men? What exercises can men do to maintain, you know, solid, you know, sexual, you know, energy and just, you know, stay straight?
What do you mean, like, stay straight?
Like, you know, you're giving us advice on, you know, women on how to maintain, you know, proper hygiene. What about men?
With their penis?
Yeah.
If you're not circumcised, pulling it back, pulling your skin back while you're showering, the guys who are not circumcised, they have a lot to do when it comes to keeping their hygiene intact, because you want to make sure you actually clean the inside of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens when you have sex with the female, you're transferring the germs left inside of her vagina.
Mm.
That's why I think sometimes they circumcise a male female when they're just born or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you're not circumcised, that's one of the ways. You have to make sure you clean the inside of the skin of the penis. You try to constantly take a shower. If you work, you won't be able to take 3 baths a day.
Right.
So let's just say 2.
2, right.
Morning and night. And
right.
When you do that, there's also sanitary napkins. You can just clean your tip of your penis, clean around your penis when you go to pee, stuff like that. Just keep it. Don't do too much, but at the same time, don't do too little.
So would you recommend wet wipes for men or women?
Yes.
Wet wipes instead of like the regular tissues?
Yes. You could use the wet wipes as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Serena, I swear to God, there's a billion questions I'll keep asking you, and I know we're going to go on to another episode. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You have no idea how happy I am that you're on here. So thank you so much, Serena. Please tell people where people can find you, because I know a whole lot of people are going to flood your account and would love to listen, you know, to you and get better understanding of sex in general, because I know like a lot of people are suffering in silence. You know, they want to ask questions, but they don't know where to go, and they don't want to, because most people feel people will judge them when they talk about sex. You feel me?
That's true.
You know, yeah. So please tell people how people can find you. I know you're starting up your own podcast soon, or I don't know if you've started. Have you started?
No, I haven't done my episode as yet. I was supposed to start the 1st of January, but with a lot that I've been dealing with,
okay.
It just happened, so. But you could find me on Instagram. My name is Zarina, Zarena, Isaac, Isaac, or on Facebook, Zarena, which is Zarena, Reenie, Renie, Isaac, Isaac, and Francis, Francis. That's a long name on Facebook. So
man, thank you so much, Zarena. I appreciate this, man. I truly, truly appreciate this. Thank you very much. And I can't wait for us to do more episodes, okay? And please, when you set up your podcast, please have me on, please.
No problem at all.
Please.
Thank you for having me again.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye for now. Bye. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening. And I truly, truly appreciate this. If you would like to come on the episode, or you'd like to come on the podcast, just go on my Instagram. It's Ayo_OG. So AYO_OG. Just follow me, and we can set up a conversation, and we'll do this. And also, I'd like to say a big thank you to everybody listening and sharing, because we actually just recorded 3 episodes of this podcast, and we have actually gone way above our expectations for the streams. We've been listened to in Europe, Africa, North America, and we've exceeded over 25,000 streams with just 3 episodes. So I am more than grateful. Thank you guys very, very much. I truly, truly, truly appreciate you guys. And the podcast is for you. This is that I'm doing this podcast so you can get entertained and get the information you need. And if there's anything you'd like me to talk about, or if there's any issues you want me to address, or have people come on the episode, please let me know. I love you guys. Bye-bye. Bye, Zarena.